And turn me up a little bit, guys. Great song. I enjoyed that song. And put your trust in the Lord. And just a fabulous song. Appreciate that. Great job, ladies. You can guys maybe turn me up just a little bit. Hear myself real well. Turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. Familiar passage of Scripture, of course, regarding the story about David and Bathsheba. We're going to get into that in just a moment. I have this year worked with the discipline system for the first time for this whole year. In the past, I've worked with it for a couple semesters when needed on occasion. And unfortunately, the most unfortunate, difficult part of working with discipline is meeting with students who have made some mistakes. And this semester, I had to expel a few students, not many, for the majority. I would look in this room and say 99% of you have a great attitude, a great testimony, and keep the rules and have a great spirit about it. But unfortunately, there comes a time when we've had to expel a few students. And when the expulsion takes place, I'll usually meet with a student, and I'll talk to them, and we'll come to a conclusion. I'll go back to Brother Douglas and make the decision to expel someone. And when we expel someone, I always end up sitting in a conference room with a phone and the student, and I hope none of you ever have to face this, I will have them pick up the phone and call their mom and dad and let them know that they're being expelled and let them know what they're being expelled for. I've never one time expelled a student and had that student say, I knew exactly what I was doing. I made the right choice, Brother Bailey, and if I had it to do, I would do it all over again. I've never had one do that. But I've had countless, in tears, sit at that table and say, how could I be so stupid? How could I be so foolish? And we'll find here in the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 11, a man who was a pretty great man, man after God's own heart. But we find that he makes a foolish decision. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to read several verses here and follow along. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. As his first mistake. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Another foolish mistake. He knew she was going to be up there. Most of the women back in that time bathed on the rooftop, and that's why he went up there, in my opinion. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Of course, he's trying to make an attempt to cover up his actions by getting to Uriah to go to his house. And Uriah says, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants of his lord and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, comest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house and be with your wife? And Uriah said unto David, that the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as my soul liveth, I will not do this thing. He had self-control. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hadst made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh into the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaasheth, and did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, and he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Basically, they had to fight foolishly. They had to fight to the point where he said, you know, the only way I'm going to get this guy killed is if we get so close to the wall that he's going to be taken out. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us in the field. And we were upon them unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, encourage thou him. That phrase there, the sword devoureth one as well as another. His foolish decision didn't just cost one man his life. It cost, as you see there, some others their life also. Your foolish decisions and our foolish decisions, myself included in life, will never just affect yourself. It'll always affect someone else. It'll always affect your future. It'll affect those around you that are close, that are in proximity. You know, this was a foolish decision that he made. All of us have made some foolish decisions. I know I've made some pretty foolish decisions in my life. I was looking, and just interesting for you hunters, since hunting's the theme, you know, and Brother Collins had his hunting sermon, and then Brother Froelke came out with his interesting pictures. And I Googled just some crazy things that people happen. This is a true story. It's from the internet, so I know it's true. I mean, it even has a guy's name, Marino Mariba. Okay? Marino Mariba was hunting when he saw a big buck standing above him on a small cliff. It was a dead aim. Marino killed the buck, and the buck killed Marino when it fell on him, breaking his neck and killing him instantly. That's a true story. That was pretty foolish. And then here's another one. While reporting the theft of her car, the woman mentioned that her cell phone was still in the stolen vehicle. Police called the cell phone number, telling the crook that they were answering an ad from the newspaper to buy the car. Thinking it would be a good way to unload the stolen car and make a few dollars, the robber made arrangements for a meeting where he was arrested immediately. That's pretty foolish. Here's this one that tops the cake, though. A Jay County man using a cigarette lighter to check the barrel of his muzzleloader was killed when the weapon discharged in his face. Sheriff's investigator said Gregory Stevens, 19, died in his parents' rural Dunkirk home about 11:30 p.m. Investigators said Gregory was cleaning a .54 caliber muzzleloader that had not been fired properly. He was using the lighter to look into the barrel when the gunpowder ignited. You say, that guy is crazy. I mean, if you put up a lighter next to the barrel of a muzzleloader, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? But you know what? Some of us in our life make some pretty foolish decisions as well. Whether you're a college student or where you're an adult, all of us have made some pretty foolish decisions. I was thinking back when I was looking through the story and knew I was going to preach in chapel on this subject. I thought through and I thought, you know, what are some of the most foolish things I've done in my life? And I think of some great things I've done in my life, some very wise decisions. Coming to Hiles Anderson College was a wise decision. Marrying my wife, Jennifer, was a great, wise decision. And wouldn't you agree, sweetheart? She might think it's a foolish one. But some wise decisions. Now, there's been some pretty crazy decisions I made in life. I remember when I was a kid, when I was about, 8 or 9 years old, I had a BMX bike. I mean, this thing was, it had all that. It had free spin because it had a handle brake. And back, of course, this is back in, the early 80s. And I worked long and hard to get this bike. And I remember I had this BMX bike and it had front and rear handbrakes. And I remember my friend and I were riding our bikes, and my sisters, I had three sisters, they had a bunch of friends over at their house. And even at that young age, it's amazing when I'm with my daughters and they're with their class, it's amazing how even at that age, boys like to try to show off and impress the girls, even if they're not really interested, and they just want to impress them. And I remember I was riding my bike, and we started doing some tricks, and I thought, I'm gonna do it. It was called an endo, okay? It was when you hit the front brake and you tip the bike back, tip the bike up, and you stay on, and then you come back down, and man, you look really cool. And I remember I thought, man, I'm gonna show off in front of my sister and all of her friends, and my buddies, and they were doing some tricks, and I remember I got going, but I got going a little bit too fast, and I hit that front brake, and as soon as I hit the front brake, I hit it too hard, and my back of my bike went up, and so did I went right over the handlebars. And smashed my nose, got a bloody nose, scratched my face all up, and my sister and all of her friends laughed. And I was humiliated. I've never gotten over it. It bothers me to this day. There was also the time that I was cleaning a pool for a neighbor, and I had a big bottle of chlorine, straight chlorine. And I remember I sat down on the deck of the pool, and I took that bottle of chlorine, and it was up kind of on a ladder. It was completely full. And I was bending over, looking at, I was testing for the pool content or whatever, water content. And I dropped that thing down, and when I did, the chlorine splashed up into both of my eyes. And that was when I was about 9 years old. I had perfect 20/20 vision before that. For about 30 minutes, this was before cell phones, I was there all by myself. I couldn't find my eyes. I could not open, and they were just on fire. And I remember I ended up finally getting to the phone and got to the neighbor, and they got my parents, took me to the emergency room, and they ran this, like, two big contacts in my eyes for about 2 hours, flushing that out. And after that day, I wear these things because of that. Foolish, stupid decision. Another great decision I made in my life was one time I was going down I-65, and I hated wearing a seatbelt. And I remember a state policeman pulled me over, and he came up to me and he said, you know why I'm pulling you over? I said, I have no idea. He said, you're not wearing your seatbelt. I was foolish enough to say, were you wearing yours? He was on a motorcycle. And he threatened me with an inch of my life of going to jail for my smart aleck comment. That was a foolish decision. There was the other time when I was thinking back, my daughters and I were talking about this the other day. My daughter, she was about 3 or 4 years old. She was sitting in her car seat, Caitlin, and she was in the back seat. Maybe not quite that old, maybe about two or three. And we're driving to church on a Sunday morning, and I don't know, I think it was a day where she, it was right around Christmas or Easter. She was dressed up really pretty. My wife had really, had this perfect little dress on her and her little ribbon and everything in her hair. And I remember we're sitting there in the way, and she said, hey, Daddy, Pen day. Can I have a pen? And I looked up in the mirror and looked over at the pen, and my wife looked at me like, are you kidding me? And I said, you'll be fine. I said, she goes, yeah, Daddy, pen. So I took the pen. I said, just make sure you only write on your piece of paper. So I handed the pen back to my 2-year-old. And We went to church. My wife and I talked, you know, and everything was going fine. She was completely content and happy in the back seat. And we got to church, and she was in her car seat. I'd always go around, and I would always get her out of the car seat and then hand her to my wife. She'd take her into church. I remember I went around the car, and I opened that door of the back seat, went to reach in to get her out of the car seat, and I thought, oh, my word. She had taken that pen and written, I mean, scribbled all over both of her legs, all over her arms, all over her dress. And I remember thinking to myself, I cannot turn around. I cannot pick my daughter up. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take my suit coat off, kind of just put it over and say, I'll take her to class today. That was a foolish decision. Almost as foolish as when my daughter came home and said, hey, we're playing this game at school where we run and slide and see who can slide the farthest on the ice. And I said, oh, that's a cool game. That's great. And my wife said, you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that. And I remember the next day I said, Caitlin said to me, she said, it's a really fun game. I said, just be careful. I said, make sure you're careful, and don't try to slide too far. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't know if I should do this or not, but I'm telling her, hey, have fun. Let her live. She only lives once. And I remember my wife overhearing that. And again, I didn't heed the intuition of a wife. And I remember her kind of looking at me and said, did you tell her to go ahead and, I did. And I remember that day, my wife calling me. And whenever I answer the phone and she says, Andrew, men, you've been there. You married men have been there. Andrew. And I always say, Jennifer. And she said, the school called. I said, oh, really? And she said, yes. Caitlin's at the hospital. I said, oh, really? Is she sick? She said, no. And of course, my wife is sweet and submissive as she is. She didn't raise her voice. She just said, no. She fell sliding on the ice and banged her head, and she has a concussion, and she's throwing up, and they're running some tests on her. I'll be at the hospital. If you can come up when you're able to, I'd appreciate it. I remember hanging up the phone thinking, that was not a real smart decision I just made. All of us have made some foolish decisions. Here we see David made this foolish decision that affected many people. And you think to yourself, when you make a foolish decision, certainly, hey, at least try to learn from the foolish decision you made. Okay? Now, when we see this first foolish decision David made, we're talking about a roughly somewhere around 1035 BC is when he sinned with Bathsheba. Now turn over to 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. About 1017 BC, about 18 years later. It says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab, same guy he talked to earlier in the last passage of Scripture, and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Skip over to verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very, what's the next word there? Foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days that the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the land, into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel, how many thousand men? 70,000 men. A foolish decision. Foolish decisions. I put down here this morning, I guess what I would call this is, I don't know, I put several titles. Far-reaching foolishness. Don't be a fool in school. I like that one. I'm a poet. Foolishness forgotten. I put down, I want to give you this morning, 8 foolish decisions that in 22 years of working with college students, I have seen college students make. 8 foolish decisions that I have seen college students make. Number one, you make the foolish decision to leave God out of your life. Make the foolish decision to leave God out of your life. I've never sat down with a student that ended up being expelled that ever said, man, Brother Bailey, I walked with God every day. I prayed and I spent time with the Lord every day I was in college. Brother Bailey, I walked with God for an hour a day. I spent time in the woods. I have no idea why I did what I did. I've never had that happen yet. In every situation, they have said, no, I didn't walk with God. I forgot him the week I enrolled in college. I forgot him when the busyness of going to class, in chapel, in ministry, in job came into my life. I completely forgot my walk with God. Foolish mistake number one you'll make as a college student, and we all make as individuals, is if we ever get to the point where we say, I'm going to leave God out of my life. Don't ever get to that point. If you're a new or re-admit student this semester and you say, man, Brother Bailey, I'm just getting into the habit of college, make sure you get into the habitual habit of every day spending time with the Lord. Don't make the foolish decision of leaving God out of your life. And I know that's preached often, and it's preached continually, but because it's so vital. Number two, don't make the foolish decision to not live by a schedule. Don't make the foolish decision to not live by a schedule. So many students that I meet with and talk to, you get into this habit of, hey, I just go and do whatever I need to do whenever I need to do it. I just kind of, whatever happens to me, happens to me. Live by a schedule. Decide, hey, I know exactly where I'm going to be. I know exactly what time I'm going to get up. I know exactly what time I have to leave to go to work. I know exactly when I have to be in class. I know exactly what time I have to be in my bus ministry meeting. And decide today, I'm going to live by a schedule. And you might say, well, I'm not really sure exactly how to handle my schedule. Come see Brother Osgood, Mrs. Bushy, anyone in the OSL, my wife, myself, any of these staff and faculty. All of us would love to help you live by a schedule. Live by a schedule. If you don't live by a schedule, more than likely, you're not going to be walking with the Lord. If you just say, I'll get up whenever I get up, you're not going to have time with the Lord. Live by a schedule. Number three, I put down the foolish decision I have seen college students make is they don't live by a budget. You don't live by a budget. I was talking to a college student just recently in my office, and I said, tell me about your budget. And they said, oh, I don't really have a budget. I said, what do you mean you don't have a budget? They said, well, I get my check and I cash it, and I just keep all the money in my wallet, and I'll go down to the business office and put some of it on the business office on my bill, and then I'll just spend the rest of it, and then before I know it, the month's over with, and I look back and say, where'd all my money go? I said, no, you gotta live by a budget. Take your money, and if you know that you have one school bill due every month and you get paid twice a month, take that check and say, hey, okay, I'm going to set half of it for my school bill aside. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to take the rest of it and pay any other bills that I have to pay and take half of that and set it aside. And then look and see what you're left with. I said, now, if you do all that, you get to the point where you say, Brother Bailey, I don't have, after I tithe and I pay my school bill and I pay other expenses, I'm left with the negative. Okay? And there's a lot of you that are that way. The answer to that, which is why there was several students at the end of the semester that owed money on your back bill and several that are not sitting here today because they couldn't pay their bill to get back into college. Don't get to the point where you look at your budget and you're in the negative and you say, well, hey, it is what it is. I'll just get behind a little more and a little more and a little more and a little more until I finally have to leave college. That's not the answer. You might say, well, I don't know what the answer is then. Again, come see Brother Osgood, myself, or any of the staff and faculty. We would love to sit down with you and help you. You know, it might be that you need to work a few more hours. And you might say, but I'm already dying. That goes back to your schedule. It doesn't hurt to get advice. You know, I remember when I was a young married person, I remember I got to the point where I thought, hey, I'm on my own, man. I'm the head of a house. And I remember I made some stupid decisions. And I thought, you know what? I probably should get some advice next time. And before I make another foolish decision. There's no reason to make a foolish decision on your schedule. There's no reason to make foolish decisions on your budget. When you have the ability to be able to access any of these people right here that live by a budget, that know how it is to get by with very little, and come and say, hey, can you help me? We would love to help you. You know, and this might ruffle some feathers, but I don't have, a lot of times students will come and say, well, I'm just going to trust God and live by faith. Okay, I live by faith also, but when I started working at the college, I did not know how much money I was going to make. And I remember I got my first paycheck, and I looked at it, and I said, okay, well, I have more going out than I have coming in. I don't have a car payment. I don't have internet. I don't have cable TV. I live very, very limited. And I thought to myself, it still doesn't cover the bills. So what am I going to do? I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to live by faith and just sit and hope that God sends me money. That's not what I did. I had learned from my dad that if you want to live by faith, God will provide for you if you're willing to work. So I said to myself, I guess I need to get a little additional income. So I went out and I got a second job that I could work a few hours a night and try to make the extra money that I needed. And you know what? God came through. He provided for me. He provided for me by giving me an arm and another arm and two legs that could work and go out and get what I needed to have to live. Some of you get this attitude of, well, living by faith is just sitting back, doing the minimum, and God will just send it in. No, God expects us to go and work. And live by budget. Number four, foolish decisions of not joining a ministry. If you're a new student this semester and you have not joined a ministry, I encourage you to join a ministry. Hiles Anderson College, a large percentage of what you will learn will be on the weekends. It'll be tying your heart to someone, to getting, like Brother Froki preached, what life are you influencing? Don't make the foolish decision of not joining a ministry. A lot of these I'd love to expound on, but due to time, I'm not going to expound on them. But next, number five, you make the foolish decision of not getting a reference on someone you date. If you're dating someone and you're about to date someone, don't just date someone and think, well, they're at Bible college. I'm sure he is a great, wonderful, perfect man of God, and I'm going to date him. For you young ladies, or for you men. Men, you need to get a reference just as much as the ladies do. And I'm sitting here right now preaching this, and I'm saying, hey, I want more work. Come see me so I can go and sit down and go all these, do some references. But I'm telling you, it's important. It's vital that you get a reference on who you're going to date. Don't just start dating someone, never get a reference, and then all of a sudden you're emotionally attached to them, you fall in love, and then all of a sudden you start seeing these glaring weaknesses, and hey, he's on the financial withdrawal list again and again and again. Man, what am I going to do? Now I'm engaged. Oh, my word. And then we sit there and think, did she not know? He owed $4,000 on his school bill when she started dating him. He's had 10 jobs while he's been at college. But you never got a reference. Get a reference. Don't make the foolish decision of not getting a reference on someone you date. Next, number six, you make the foolish decision to date too fast. The foolish decision to date too fast. You spend all your time together. There are students in this room, couples in this room, some great, and I say young people, I won't say kids because you're not kids, you're young people. But when you get to be 43, it seems like you're younger and younger. There are some great students in this room who I sit on this platform and I look out and I see in the hallways and I'm concerned. You say, well, why are you concerned, Brother Bailey? I'm concerned because every time I see you, you're with your girlfriend and you're a freshman or a sophomore. That's alarming. You say, well, Brother Bailey, we're going to get married. She's the one. Look, I'm telling you, if you're spending every waking moment together and at night you're on your cell phone texting each other and calling each other, spending every break time together at work when you're not supposed to be on break together, and you're spending all the time you can together, you are headed down the road of tragedy. You say, how do you know that, Brother Bailey? Because I have counseled and seen many, many students that I have looked at and said, you were immoral, you're expelled from college. Where did it start? It started from every single waking moment of your time together. When I dated my wife, my father-in-law, I used to think, man, this guy needs to get a life. I remember he had so many rules on us. 1 5-minute phone call a week. So many of these rules he mysteriously has forgotten. But 1 5-minute phone call a week, I didn't forget, because I remember I'd talk and I'd call my wife, and that was before cell phones, and we'd be on the phone, and all of a sudden we'd be talking, and you know, oh, Jennifer, and all of a sudden I'd hear, okay, it's been 5 minutes, Andrew. Usually Mrs. Young, it's been 5 minutes, Andrew. If it was Brother Young, it's been 5 minutes, Andrew. Then I was like, whoops, okay. We were just praying just now. I'm hanging up. But I'm telling you, it all starts with getting too close too fast. Before you know it, there is nothing else emotionally to connect on. There's nothing more to talk about. So then what happens? Boredom sets in because we know we can't get married. So then what happens? It leads to the physical inappropriateness. One of the most foolish decisions I've ever made, I made about 3 weeks ago. I had this thing where, I don't know, I picked it up when I was in college. That if I was in a hurry and I got my shirt on and realized that it was still wrinkled, I would take the iron, or if it was my pant leg. A lot of times you'll have your pants and you'll have them on that hanger that clamps, you know, that clamps, and it'll leave a line right here. So I put my pants on, and I'd be like, man, it's got a stinking line right there. I couldn't stand that. So I'd run in the ironing room and just flip the iron on. Usually I have to set it down, turn it back up so it turns on, you know, auto shut off. And I'd go in, make my cup of coffee, walk back into the ironing, into the laundry room. I'd just take that, and I just, man, just kind of, I'd be good to go. Or sometimes if I have a wrinkle here in my chest, I'd just sit there. I'd hold the shirt away. And if you say, that can't be true, talk to my wife, Andrew, and I'd hold the shirt just enough away from me like this, and I just kind of get that, just a little tip, bam. I mean, these things would be burning hot, but I thought, you know what, I'll be okay. I'll be careful. Be careful. It's not gonna damage me. I'll just be careful. I remember many times my wife would walk in, and I'd be sitting there, man, getting that wrinkle out. She'd look at me, and she'd go, you're going to burn yourself. And I'd say, haven't for 40 years. I remember my daughters would walk in, they'd be like, that's cool. Can we do that? And I would say, no, don't do that. Do as I say, not as I do. Let me iron my shirt the way I'm going to iron. So the other day, one of our Christmas gifts for our daughters was, they both have American Girl dolls, was we were going to go up to Chicago to the American Girl doll store. And if I had boys, it would have been to Cabela's. Man. But we were going to go, two girls, to the American Girl doll store. And they were going to go to the little hair salon where they take the little doll and they sit in this little chair and they actually do the doll's hair and charge you $100 to do their hair. And they get to sit there and watch them do the hair, and they get to pick out what color ribbon they want in the doll's hair, and Kit and Samantha. And so I said, okay, so we're getting ready, and we're going to go after that. We're going to go to the little American Girl cafe where you get to sit and eat, and they put a little thing where the doll can sit on the table, like connects to the table, and they get to sit there and eat fake food with you. And it's great. Fake food you pay like $100 for, and all this fun stuff. So we're all getting ready. My daughters get their dolls, and they have everything picked out, and everything's going great. And I'm walking through the house, and my wife says, honey, you have a really bad wrinkle right there in your shirt. If you put it in the ironing room, I'll iron it. And I said, no, I got it. I'll take care of it. Walk in the ironing room and pull out the iron. Done this 100 times. Pull my shirt away from me. Isn't it? Now, this shirt I had on was like a flannel shirt. Or, I don't know, it was different material. It wasn't just a dress shirt. Dress shirts, the iron comes out just like that. I mean, the wrinkle. it wouldn't come out. I thought, man, this stupid thing. So I did what I always do, put it up here to feel if it's got heat. I always do that. Is the iron on? And it was hot. I could feel, man, it's hot. Why isn't it coming out? So I put it back, start pulling that away. I thought, I'm not going to get burned. I've never gotten burned. 42 years, I've never burned myself once. I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to squirt a little water on there. I hit what I thought was the water spray button. But instead, it was the steam button. And as soon as I did that, my wife will contest, I screamed like a madman. It burned my entire side instantly like that. I mean, blisters all over in a little triangle. I'm not kidding you. They're still there today. And it burned it so bad, I dropped the iron. I mean, I was like, man. And I mean, it burned terrible. I thought to myself, oh, my word. I mean, it was like I couldn't even keep my shirt next to it. I'm like, oh, my word. And my wife's like, what happened? And I'm like, nothing. I just stubbed my toe. So I'm sitting, man, it's just. So I take my shirt and pull it back. I'm like, man, I hope maybe it just feels bad. Pulled it back. I'm like, oh, my word. There are blisters everywhere. The skin was already turning brown, like black. But man, I've got some serious burns. So I immediately just kind of went into the bathroom, and my wife's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, just some ointment. I'm looking through there, trying to find some burn cream. Why? I'm not going to get burned. It's the same thing many couples have said to me. Not going to get burned. It's okay if I hold her hand. That's as far as we'll go. It's okay if we slip off on break together and embrace. Ain't gonna get burned. I mean, what's a hug, Brother Bailey? What's holding hands, Brother Bailey? It's okay if we meet up. I have a car, she has a car, we meet up and at a park and have some fun. It's okay, we're not gonna get burned. We'll be fine. Until I sit down with you in the conference room and say, is it true that you guys went to a hotel last night? Yes, sir. I can't believe I was so foolish. Where did it start? Oh, I didn't think I'd get burned. I thought we could spend every waking moment together. I wouldn't get burned. I mean, after all, Brother Bailey, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. You don't know what you're talking about. You're 43. You haven't been in college in 22 years. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. Go ahead. Get burned. Trust me. I won't be ironing myself anymore. David, though, I would have thought to himself, man, I made a stupid mistake in my life. Well, he made another really foolish one, too. This time it killed 70,000 people. What foolish mistake are you going to make that you're going to look back and say, man, I never thought I was going to get burned? I'll give you the last three points. Make the foolish mistake of never seeking advice. Make a foolish decision of changing jobs too often. Always thinking, there's another better one for me. You know what? I had one job the entire time I worked at Hiles Anderson College. Right, sir. I hated the job I worked. Where did you work, Brother Bailey? I worked at what is now Teleperformance. When I started out at Teleperformance, I made $7.25 an hour. I had worked at my job, my dad's factory, so I didn't need to make a lot of money because I had a lot saved up. But when I came to college as a freshman, my brother-in-law worked as a supervisor at then Americal, who had 23 employees. You could eat in your booth and all kinds of stuff, and you actually dialed with your finger. It was really crazy. And I hated it. I wanted physical labor. But my brother-in-law said, Andy, if you work here, it's a 10-minute drive, and if you stay long enough, it'll be the best job you ever had. It'll pay all your bills through college. And I thought, this is crazy. I remember I'd leave there many nights saying, I'm never coming back. Almost every night. My wife would contest to that. I hated it. But you know, after I stayed for a while and I got a raise, and then I became an insurance agent and I got another raise, and by the time I left there, I think I had like 6 weeks paid vacation and I was making $14 an hour. I was never on the withdrawal list, not one time. Meanwhile, I had friends that had come and gone, but hey, I worked at CSX or CCX, or I worked at overnight. And I'm going to get a different job because it's going to pay me a little more. I just kept working the same job, going to the same job every day. Why? Because my dad said, Andy, if you get a job, stick to it. If you do well enough, you'll move up and it'll become a good job. And you make a mistake of changing jobs too often. Get a job and stick with it. Next, I put on here, then make the foolish decision of dwelling in the past. You say, Brother Bailey, I made some very, very foolish decisions. Philippians 3:15 says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. You might be sitting here today, and I'm running out of time, but I just want to say this. You might be sitting here saying, Brother Bailey, I made a lot of foolish decisions last semester. I made so many foolish decisions, it's unbelievable the decisions that I made. I sit there and I have all kinds of regret. Don't live this semester looking in the rearview mirror. Finish and go through this semester looking out the windshield and say, you know what? I am excited what God has for me. I'm not going to look at what's in the past. I'm going to look at what's in front of me. If you look over, and I'll do this, it'll take me about 2 minutes and I'll close. Psalm 119, verse 30. Psalm 119 and verse 30. Psalm 119 and verse 30. My wife showed me these verses the other day. She said, honey, these are some great verses. And she had her Bible all marked up, and she showed me these verses. I've read Psalm 119, I don't know how many times in my life. And I have it memorized from front to back. No, I'm just kidding. Wish I did. Psalm 119 verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. I put down here just a simple outline. Choose the way of truth this semester. Number two, just like verse 31 says, stick with God this semester. Number three, run to God's commandments and do righteously. Number four, let God and the authority that he has put around you guide you and teach you, like it says in that last verse in verse 33. See, Brother Bailey, I've made some foolish decisions. You don't know what I've done. You know what? God used a man by the name of David who had made some pretty foolish decisions. All of us have been there. Decide today, say, hey, some of those foolish decisions you mentioned today, I'm going to stay away from. Maybe you're saying, hey, I have a dating relationship that I know I haven't been leading the way that I should. I've been going down the path of, I'm not going to get burned. Decide today, hey, I'm going to live and I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to stick to his commandments. And those things that I have made in the past, I'm going to leave them in the past and put them behind. And God will use you greatly. Have a great semester. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this.